All right, everybody. Well, God bless you. Thanks for joining us here this morning. I brought a couple of props here with me. I'm wearing one. What are these? Glasses. Okay. What is this? This magnifying glass actually has a light on it, but I don't think it works. Isn't that kind of cool, though? You can look at something real close, push this little button, it gives light. Anybody ever use one of these? Don't be shy. Yeah, okay. You're all over 50. Okay, so anybody under 50 say, no, I wouldn't. Okay. Ah, but I'm bringing out the big guns here, baby. Oh, yeah. What are these? Binoculars. I try to look around. Oh, upside down. Look around, but I can't see anything. Why? Covers. Okay, well, I'll take off those covers on that in with my eyes, but I still can't see anything. You know what? You got to take off all of the covers, the front and the back. So it's just not being able to look through these, it's being able to see through these, right? So, boy, you look out there, and man, you guys are all beautiful. So up close, I can see everything. But what's the purpose of these particular items that I'm showing you? You know, right? What? Yeah. To be able to see, right? Be able to see more clearly. Why in the world would you use a pair of binoculars or a telescope for that matter if you can already see what's going on? But it's what it's doing is helping us to see more clearly physically. Physically. Boy, we need some help with that sometimes, don't we? Boy, lose your glasses sometimes. Where are my glasses? How can I? As Jeffrey removes his. No. We all kind of, as part of the aging process maybe, or whatever physical things might go on, you need some help sometimes, right? Well, I do. I'll just use myself as a guinea pig. But what I want to say is that there are some simple truths I think we can get into this morning that can help in assisting us to see more clearly spiritually, too. How clearly are we seeing today spiritually? Could you use a little help? I can always use help. I want help. I need someone to help me to be able to see more clearly spiritually. We'll go to great lengths to be able to see physically. Oh, we'll go to the eye doctor, we'll have surgery, we'll have LASIKs, we'll spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars so we can see clearly physically. And yet, there is a verse in Corinthians that I was just so inspired about this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Really interesting. Wasn't even going to include this, and I was just sitting there looking into the fireplace this morning, and I thought of two sections in Scripture that I thought would be very poignant and meaningful this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Why are people blinded? It's very simple. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The Amplified even says it kind of in a more unique way. Among them, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You ever run into a blind person? You ever see one? That's a kind of an ironic way to say it. They're trying to find their way, aren't they? Well, I think there's some really simple and great truths here. You know, we have a mission statement in the Acts Now Fellowship, as well as God has a mission statement. And a mission statement that was given to Paul, it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, Acts 26:18. and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are which are sanctified by faith that is in me. First thing, what? Open their eyes. That doesn't mean physically. Spiritually. Spiritually, we get our eyes open. We don't have any problem seeing physical realities. See? They're all around us. We're stimulated all the time by all these things. And I think it's an honorable question to ask, how are you seeing today spiritually? Today. Not ever before, not when you were 10 years old or 15 or whatever. Today. Today. That's the only compartment we have to go with, is today. You know, right up the road here, there's a wonderful location, monument, Cabrillo National Monument. It houses the famous Point Loma Lighthouse, for those of you on the conference call. In the viewing area that overlooks San Diego Bay, Coronado Naval Air Station, and downtown, there are what they're called telescopes that are mounted up there. Well, what is their purpose? What is their purpose? To be able to see more clearly, right? To magnify what's off in the distance. It is to magnify and to clarify what you are looking at. It is really a very beautiful location to visit, and it provides a majestic view of the San Diego area, all the way to Mexico even. Coronado Islands, beautiful. So if you ever visit San Diego, after you've stopped by the Linfelds home for some tea and some of Jeannie's cookies, then keep going up the road to Cabrillo National Monument. But maybe you've visited another vacation spot or a location in the world with fabulous scenic views. People travel from all over the world to see the Grand Canyon, to see this place in Mexico. It's something, I don't remember the name of it now. They say it's bigger and more beautiful than even the Grand Canyon. People will travel and spend tons of money just to see things. Or maybe you're like Bob and Jeannie. You can view the heavens with a home telescope. I don't know if you've been at their home recently. They have a telescope that probably you can see very clearly through, right, Bob? Yeah, absolutely. Either way, you know, as we look out and appreciate those beautiful sights, we are reminded that being able to see clearly is such a wonderful blessing and certainly not something to be just taken for granted. Boy, if you've ever had some kind of thing going on with your eyes that's caused your vision to get blurry, once it clears up, you are so thankful to be able to see. You know, God wants us to see clearly too. He wants our spiritual sight to magnify and clarify his perspective. That is beyond fabulous. It is beyond great, beyond cool, beyond beautiful, and beyond fantastic. It is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Right? And whatever it is, whatever word you put on it, it's within our reach. And God tells us this many places in the Bible. But the one I especially love is in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. You know, it's the will of God for us just to be able to see clearly. Boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hazy out there for me. I want to see more clearly. I want to understand. I want to get a better vision. See? Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, where? In the knowledge of whom? Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Boy, that's something. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to share five verses from God's word that I believe will really assist and help us in magnifying and clarifying our spiritual sight. And prayerfully, we'll learn a great lesson in the process. Because you know what? A teacher has failed if people walk away and they don't remember what the teaching was all about. If there's no practical part to it, then what has the person on the other end of the teaching really learned? Well, that was great teaching, Barney. You were so excited, so funny. Very entertaining. But what's the point? What's the point you take home? See? Well, if you're a student in college, you get the point pretty quick, because if you don't retain the information, you fail the test, you're out. God's a little more gracious than that, isn't he? He isn't running a test every day, other than the fruit and the quality of the life that's being lived by yourself and myself. So I want to look, first of all, in Psalm 27. Five verses from God's word that I believe will really help in magnifying our spiritual insight, our spiritual sight. Psalm 27, you've heard it before. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This is the heart of David. A man upon whom the Spirit of God was, not even a child of God. And yet here's the cry of his heart. One thing I've asked. One, that will I seek after. You know, David was called a man after God's heart, God's own heart. And all of David could have wanted many things, right? Victory over his enemies, the crown on his head, riches, more riches than he already had. We see him relentlessly returning his focus to God. You know, David sought God more than any earthly treasure. Any earthly treasure. Boy, that makes us think. So number one thing I ask, that I may dwell in the house in the presence of God all the days of my life. Number two, Mark chapter 10. You can read the context of these a little bit later. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Number one, one thing I ask. Number two, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Sell everything you have and go give it to the poor. Give up your material possessions in the way that they have exalted themselves in your mind. Spiritually we see, physically we see. Could there be a difference? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this rich young ruler claimed to be righteous, but he's unwilling to give Jesus the one thing he asked for, himself. The rich young ruler, he was willing to impress Jesus with his track record, but he was unwilling to surrender his status. See? You know, we talk about what is the greatest sin a man can commit. Some would say murder, adultery, lying, deception, rape. You fill in the blank. One thing Adam and Eve did is they became dependent on something other than God. And that really becomes the contest in life, is to fully and completely depend upon God. Jesus was the prime example. He was the perfect example of one who depended upon God in every situation. And it's not really in our old nature to want to do that. It's to want to rely on self. I'll figure it out. If I can't figure it out, I'll go to the government who will help me figure it out. One thing I ask, one thing you lack. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, it's a great record. The Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But how many things are necessary? One thing. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You know, one day Martha had an unexpected house guest. The Son of God. Boy, I bet you'd be scurrying around the house, cleaning it up, and getting your best clothes on. I mean, what if he caught you in not in your best form. Jesus shows up at the door, knock, knock, knock. Oh, my God, Jesus is here. You know, while she toils over a meal for Jesus and 12 other men, Mary sits at, where is she sitting? At the feet of Jesus. She could be saying, well, you know, aren't you concerned? Aren't you worried? You know, who's going to take care of him? And where are we going to feed him? And how are we going to... Boy, she got all worked up, didn't she? She got all anxious and all troubled, all uptight. You know, Jesus responds to her complaint by saying, you are anxious and troubled with much serving. You know, Martha was so focused on doing a good thing, she missed out on the best thing. Because she got caught up in the work of the ministry, that she didn't benefit from the ministry. Trying to work so hard to get people to God, God gets forgotten in the process. One of the great temptations in the Gospel of Luke, where the devil's tempting Jesus responded, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, service is not worship. And sometimes that's very easily confused. See? Let's get the vertical relationship together with God is more of a greater priority than the horizontal things can be done with a lot more grace and ease. And maybe we find it easier maybe to say no. Well, Martha had quite a day here. David said, one thing I ask. Jesus said, one thing you lack. And again he said, one thing is necessary. Look in John chapter 9. These are simple truths. These are five sections of Scripture that teach really one singular lesson. John chapter 9. There's a gentleman who couldn't see. One day, he ran into Jesus, and he could see. How did that happen? Miracle, right? John 9:25, he answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know, but one thing I do know, that though I was blind, what? Now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Sounds like a line from a song, right? I was blind, and now I see. They were questioning this guy and saying, how did you get your sight back? And they brought the parents of him, and they brought them into the synagogue, and all these different people. One thing he said is, one thing I know. You know, a man who was born blind is healed by Jesus Christ. And when he was interrogated by the religious leaders, he does not present a well-prepared speech or get intimidated. He simply tells his story. He was blind, but now he sees. And in response, Jesus declares the blind man seeing and the religious leaders blind. That's something. And finally, in Philippians chapter 3, one thing I do. One thing I ask, one thing you lack. One thing is necessary, one thing I know. And finally, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, that can be a lot of baggage in a person's life. Because you know what? We haven't all lived perfect lives. Well, actually, none of us have. So you know what that means? We've carrying baggage along with us. Well, why not hand off the baggage to the porter? Why not cast your heavy load upon Jesus? He said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why in the world would we want to carry around a lot of baggage from our past? Well, and Paul had a past. You don't have a past like Paul. You've never been party having someone killed that I know of. Whereas Paul was, and not probably just one person either. And he thought he was doing right. You know, Paul didn't let the baggage of his past dictate his future. But boy, how true that is. Non-Christian and Christian world. He was focused. He knew his goal. And he wasn't going to waver. He called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees, who had everything going for him. You know what he did? He laid his life down to follow Jesus. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, these five verses, they highlight five different people from five completely different walks of life, and yet each point to the same lesson. David said, one thing I ask. The rich young ruler, one thing you lack. Martha, one thing is necessary. The blind man, one thing I know. Paul, one thing I do. What is that lesson then? That our lives are to be singularly focused on God. Look through a telescope. You don't, as you dial it in, all of a sudden, all of the things around it get very dim. And all you're beginning to really see is the detail of what it is that you're looking at. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. How was the rest of it go? Right. In the light of his glory and grace, the things of this world go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The more we get focused, the more the situations and the circumstances are out of the picture. No, we don't. We're, of course, we're not ignorant, but we're not magnifying the circumstances when right there in the middle of it, it's kind of like Mary, all anxious, all troubled, all worked up. Situation there, I got. Jesus said, Mary did the honorable thing. She sat right there at Jesus' feet. Maybe a good lesson to be learned in that. You know, as we seek him in all that we do, and he is involved in all that we do. You know, each of these stories, these five stories from these five verses, it's about not being distracted. By what? By aims, by money, by serving, by fear, or even our past. But being completely centered on God. And as he is brought into focus, he is magnified. Our final section of scripture is in Psalm 57, verse 7. I know it's a simple and somewhat maybe ridiculous analogy, to bring this magnifying glass with me for those of you on the call. But boy, when you need a magnifying glass, you know what? You're glad you have it. If you're looking for a splinter under your finger, or you're reading some kind of print that is so small, I don't even know how they designed the font, you have to have a magnifying glass to read it. I mean, and what does it do? It clarifies. It brings it into focus. Psalm 57, 7 through 9. We've shared these verses in some of our other calls. Bob did a teaching on it. Jan, I think. Vicki, all of us have hit it one way or another. First words, my heart is what? Fixed. My, oh God, my heart is fixed. Twice. My heart's fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake up, psaltery and harp. I myself will wake early. I will praise thee, O Lord. Among the people, I will sing unto thee among the nation. That sounds like a great antidote to stress. God, my heart's fixed on you. I got you in focus. I'm looking through the lens of your love, your grace, the promises that you have given to me, the life of my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we choose to follow him, what can happen? Our hearts can be filled with joy and purpose and love. We find rest to our souls and life is good. I know we joke around with it and say, oh, it's all good. You know what? When you're a believer and you've really got your head, heart locked in and focused with God and God Almighty and the things of God, life is good. Life is good. Issues, circumstances, problems, yes, they come up. But, you know, unfortunately, they get magnified because they become the focus. Our hearts can be filled with joy and purpose and love. We find rest to our souls and life is good. And praise becomes inevitable. Because you can only speak about those things which are going on in your heart. I didn't make up that. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you want to know what's in your heart? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You know, when we fix our eyes on him, looking through spiritual eyes, we realize the one thing our souls truly long for, a relationship with him. You can go through all the peripheral stuff, be on time, pray, read your Bible, and all that, and still miss it. God wants our hearts. He wants us. And this and that is what makes for a truly rewarding and wonderful and fruitful life. You know, as we focus on God, he's magnified in our lives. And then we become aware of and enjoy the benefits of not only seeing with physical eyes, but most importantly, with our spiritual eyes. So my closing comment in ending this teaching is, how are you seeing today spiritually? Heavenly Father, thank you for these words of encouragement. That we can actually take something away today, Father, from this teaching that gives us moments to pause, to think, to stop the busyness in our lives, to just sit before you and sit at your feet, Father, to bask in your presence, to forget the past, to cast down our thinking and pursuit of material possessions. And to just express thankfulness that once I was blind, now I see. Thank you for all of God's people who are on the conference call as well as those who are gathered here. And may we, in all of our lives, Father, offer you praise and thanksgiving as we rejoice in the things that you've given to us so freely. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.